You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 1026. In this episode, the title of the show is AI Killing WordPress Security. Interesting topic. We've had a lot of updates to Core and to a lot of other big plugins. There's been a bit of discussion about this lately. And we've got a true expert to help us navigate this particular subject and a lot of other things we're going to be discussing during the show. We've got Aaron Campbell here, VP of Product at MonaX. Aaron's got a tremendous amount of experience in the WordPress space and in security, so I thought he would be the ideal guest to have on the show to discuss this particular subject, and he was kind enough to agree. So, Aaron, would you like to give us a quick 15-20 second intro about yourself, and then when we come back from our break, we will delve into this subject, Aaron?
Sure, absolutely. I'm Aaron Campbell. I have been participating in the WordPress project for like 20 years now. My first code contribution went in 2007. I led the WordPress security team for a while and still active in it, and am working at a security company now that deals with a lot of these WordPress vulnerabilities, helping hosts deal with them for their customers. And I think that a lot has changed in the day of AI, but also a lot has stayed the same. And so a lot of that experience still holds true today.
And I've got my great co-host, Kurt, with me. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, sure thing. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and I work directly with the WP Tonic team as well.
That's fantastic. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, we've got a couple messages from our great sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
WP Tonic is sponsored by Jetpack. Managing WordPress sites shouldn't mean stitching together a pile of disconnected plugins. Jetpack brings security, performance, publishing, growth, and AI tools together in one WordPress native toolkit. Use what you need. Backup, scan, boost, social, video press, stats, and more. All with modernized dashboards built into WP Admin. For your site or your client's sites, see what Jetpack can do. Jetpack.com. WP Tonic is sponsored by Ninja Forms. And let's talk about one of their powerful tools, Conditional Logic. Conditional logic is the clearest example. Every rule for the whole form lives in one panel instead of being buried field by field. On client work, build speed and low maintenance are part of your margin. A form that is fast to configure and that a client can run afterward without coming back means less friction during the build and less support load after the handoffs. Ninja Forms, powerful and genuinely easy to work with without being dumbed down. To learn more, go to ninjaforms.com.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out we've got some great special offers from some of the major sponsors of the show, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins, services for the power user, freelancer, small agency owner. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. You'll find all the goodies there. My beloved WordPress professionals, power users. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, thinking about it, I think we can junk the first question. Let's just go straight into the meat and potato of the show. Do you really agree with the synopsis that I laid out before we went for our break, that basically, because of AI, we are facing more challenges? I think personally, my reflection on this, Aaron, is that WordPress is all in the public. I would imagine there's a lot of software, SaaS products that are facing similar challenges, but it's not all out in the public, if you understand, which is the great strength of an open source project like WordPress to some degree. Everything's out there, so it's much more public. But in general, do you think WordPress faces more challenges around security, around AI, and then maybe broaden your response to the challenges in general to SaaS, to software as a service?
Yes. I mean, I think that everyone, WordPress included, is facing significantly increased challenges in this space because of AI. On the flip side of that, we also have some really interesting, powerful new tools at our disposal to try to address those because of AI. So I think that the short answer is yes, and the long answer is yes, and there's two sides to that coin. Specifically in the WordPress space, right? Our security team has largely been volunteer for a long time, like everything else in the WordPress project. But the volume of things coming in from that have been able to be found because of AI has increased significantly. And in some cases, the complexity of those things has increased significantly. Things that take, you know, pages and pages of steps to do to reproduce that no human would have found in the past is being found by AI. But in the same way that WordPress has always found strength in our security or by having our source code out there where more people can be viewing it, checking its security, and reporting back to us responsibly the issues that they find, we're still in that position. We have tens of thousands of people who are actively checking the security on their own WordPress installs and such and reporting this stuff back to us. We're doing the same internally, but essentially it's the many hands make light work. And we benefit from that in a way that no closed SaaS ever does.
No, well, they just, and I'm not picking on anyone, but there's been cases before AI reared its head of major security flaws in proprietary SaaS software that were repressed and hidden for a number of years, hasn't there? There's some clear documented examples there. But do you think, like you say, the security element is volunteer-based? Do you think that continue or does that need some full-time paid people to contribute as well? And do you think the model of plugins has to change as well? So the first one is a smaller question. The second one's quite large, isn't it?
Yeah, let's hit the first one first.
Yeah.
I think that the security team needs to scale to meet the demand of the new kind of reality of volume of reports that we're seeing. There were some recent posts around the security team working to do just that, as well as not just scaling, but optimizing processes in a way that will allow the people that are part of it to be more effective, right? Improving security release, I guess, processes. The whole end-to-end part of that can be very time-consuming, especially backports and those kinds of things, because we try to protect users as many versions back as we can reasonably. And a lot of that is being more and more automated to help us meet that new demand. As far as paid versus volunteer, I think that everyone on the team is technically a volunteer, but many are paid for their volunteer hours. There are people like John Blackburn, who is paid to essentially manage a lot of that. Barry from Automattic is paid to help maintain and deal with a lot of that. A number of the folks that are currently addressing kinds of reports that we're getting on the actual like WordPress.org websites and those kinds of things, those are paid folks. And so there's always been kind of a mix. There still is kind of a mix. And I think it kind of needs to grow from both sides. I think we need more security savvy volunteers that are both trusted and just aware of sort of how WordPress works and how those security issues need to be addressed. And we also need people that are paid and therefore really reliable and consistent and always available.
All right, over to you, Kurt. Or you're muted, I think.
I was trying to be efficient. I feel like we may have kind of jumped in the kind of like how we're talking, because I certainly appreciate the role of like leading security and all those things. But I think there's so many people, agencies and end users included, as in creators and site managers, you know, people that own their own sites, that have no idea how the security actually works at WordPress. What do you think are just some of the biggest misconceptions that the average person has about WordPress security? Because let me put this in a different phrase. Let's say I'm an agency. I'm meeting with a corporate client. And I go, hey, I got this great project we want to propose to you. And they go, oh, my God, is it WordPress? And it's like, then you end up selling WordPress. I'm not there to sell WordPress. I'm there to sell a solution. But that misconception came from somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, WordPress, the misconception is built over time and sort of stayed despite the fact that I would say it is, in fact, a misconception. But I think that a lot of it stems from this assumption that, like, WordPress security is kind of one thing, and that all kind of goes back to and rests on the shoulders of maybe that WordPress security team that I was talking about. But the truth is, it's significantly more complex than that. WordPress is one part of a relatively large stack of things that are used to deliver that kind of end product that you're talking about, Kurt, right? Like, we're building this site or this app or this service or whatever it is. And WordPress is one part in that stack. And below that, there's stuff that has to do with hosting and the web server and things like PHP and the database and network level stuff even. And then you get up to WordPress eventually, and above that are all the like plugins and theme and things that allow your system to actually work and do the thing that it wants. And WordPress, that one thin layer that is just like WordPress core, is actually quite secure with an extremely good long track record of staying that way. Have we had vulnerabilities? Absolutely. All software does, but we treat them responsibly. We fix them quickly. We fix them thoroughly, and we tell people about them so that they can be aware and can update. But the truth is, it's that entire stack, including often the end user or the person managing the site and their security practices, that affect the overall security. And that's just a much bigger picture that many people attribute all of that to WordPress, when really they just need to be looking at every layer and taking responsibility for securing every layer.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear your answer and the way that you phrase that. I mean, I think about it like almost like the way we look at politics or society, right? We'll say that, you know, in order to have freedom, we, you know, in order to have security, we have to give up some of our freedoms. And that's like the SaaS offer, right? Like, you're going to lose some of your freedom in the SaaS world, but we're going to say it's secure. But underneath the veil, it's not really that secure, right? And so I think part of the misconception is with WordPress, we get the security, but we also get, you know, the freedom, the ability to scale, the functionality that we need. It's an interesting conversation from all sides.
And we also get the ability to vet and prove that security. And that's something you don't get from a lot of just SaaS, you know, kind of classic straight closed source SaaS. They claim it's secure, but you have no idea what it looks like under the hood, how cobbled together it is or isn't, how secure it is or isn't. And in truth, like to me, that's security by obscurity, right? That's like, you don't know what it's like. And so it's potentially harder to break into. But in reality, and especially in the modern AI age, where AI is so good at sort of mass producing all of these requests, seeing what they act like when sent to a service, assessing what that means, stuff that used to take days, weeks of effort from people can be done in seconds now by these modern models running on, frankly, relatively cheap and inexpensive hardware or, you know, temporary spun up servers. And so that obscurity is not helping as much anymore. And I think that we're going to see a lot of those companies struggle more than the open source equivalents because of that. They're going to still get the same kind of attention and vulnerability, like report increase or attacks that we get, but they're not going to have as many people out there being the good guys and helping them improve as we have.
Nice. Thank you. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think, but do you think, you know, you got all these plugins, you got these themes, these starter websites, but, you know, certain people say it's just a flea market. It's just, you know, the risks are just so much more. If you had a serious website, you wouldn't use it. But on the other hand, I think things could be done, you know, should you really put a plugin, a free plugin that hasn't been updated for 3 years or something? Shouldn't, you know, if it's a money making website, shouldn't there be somebody there that knows to make that judgment call? Hopefully I'm making some sense here. What's your own feelings about all this?
I mean, there's some truth to the fact that, you know, plugins and themes tend to be less secure than WordPress or itself, than the core product. They're often built by smaller teams, maybe even a single person. They don't have as many eyes. They haven't been around for 20 years to slowly build up that sort of all the core processes that help software build in a secure way. However, I want to do two things. I want to come back and address that a little bit, but I also want to temper that a little to give some perspective, which is that both back, gosh, I guess it's been almost 8 or 10 years now, 10 years ago when I was running the WordPress security team, and now, and for that whole time in between, the majority of compromised WordPress sites that we see do not come from plugin problems. They come from people problems and bad passwords, bad password practices, using the same password everywhere, using short passwords. Those kinds of things still rank the number one way that WordPress sites are compromised. So if your focus is to have the most secure WordPress site you can, you need to start with yourself and anyone else that's in charge of or using that site. You know, simple things like using a password manager and randomly generated passwords and not using the same password in more than one place, maybe even multi-factor authentication, if you want to go that far, which I would say is fantastic. Those are still the biggest things that you can do. Hopefully that gives a little perspective. But then coming back to the plugins, because that doesn't mean that plugins aren't an issue. They are to some extent. And, you know, you're right that it's, I don't know if I would call it a flea market, but it's a broad market, right? Like there are those plugins that someone like me has cobbled together to meet my own need and went, oh, some other people have the same need and, you know, put it out there for them. And then there's stuff like WooCommerce that has a whole team behind it that does nothing but develop this product. And those are significantly different risk levels. But even then, I think that there are ways to be able to use any plugin on that spectrum and mitigate, although not eliminate, your risk. If you're choosing quality hosting that is implementing protection at different layers, like we were talking about a little bit ago, there's a lot that can be done to protect against even potential holes in plugins. If they're blocking at the network layer known bad actors, then some of those people don't even get the chance to try to break into your site. If they're then looking at requests that are coming in using some sort of WAF and identifying things like potential SQL injection, then even if your plugin is susceptible to that, it's maybe still safe. If they have something like Monarchs that runs in the runtime layer that's looking at the behavior of the actual request and saying, oh, that looked safe, but what it's actually doing isn't, and it gets shut down there. Again, your plugin, it doesn't matter if the plugin was vulnerable, it's you're protected anyway. And I think that kind of thing, you know, also things like virtual patching, you know, fixing your plugin for you, even though you didn't realize it was needed. There are things that can be done to keep a site safe while still opening up the possibilities and capabilities of this mass market of plugins that allow WordPress to meet our needs in the end.
So Monex, what you sell it, the company sells to hosts. What actually does it do in general? Is it a suite of security tools to help hosting providers? Is that the crux, or is it a lot? Is that rather simplistic?
I think that that's probably right in broad strokes. We started out very much as a malware detection and remediation system and company, which is less about, say, protecting or closing vulnerabilities so much as finding the things that are being left behind by people that are exploiting those vulnerabilities to keep back doors open and those kinds of things. Now, we have grown beyond that, but that is still probably our flagship capability. We detect and remediate more malware than anyone else. But you know, you start by removing the malware and then you say, well, how's that getting there? And you sort of move into the next layer up, looking at the runtime when, you know, PHP is actually writing the file to disk and being able to prevent that from happening. And then stepping up into things like, well, when someone's doing that several times in a row, we should just block them at that network layer. And so our smart WAF does that. And so it's really a layered approach for hosts to help them both keep their servers clean and their resources available for their customers, as well as allow their customers to just enjoy a safe and functioning site rather than have to deal with all the complexities of securing it themselves.
Right. I think it's a good place for us to have our middle break. I think it's been a a great discussion with Aaron so far. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out, if you really want to support the show, why don't you leave us a review on Spotify or Apple? If you're listening on your mobile device, it's really easy. You just scroll down, it will show up, leave a review, and just good, bad, or indifferent. It really does help the show, and it promotes it. And I read them. So if you want to upset me, no, I'm only joking. So over to you, Kurt.
Well, Aaron, I want to thank you for your transparency and how you've been, you know, answering some of these questions. When I'm the question that we have next is like, what's the difference about building, you know, product strategy for security, you know, versus like CMS and hosting products, right? But then referencing your last question before the break, I was getting the inkling like you are on the front end of stuff. You have to develop and implement fixes for things that other people aren't even aware of yet. So it's almost like you're selling something that somebody doesn't know they need. And so with that, I think comes probably the task of educating the client, understanding pain points, and like that whole product market fit concept where people pull the product from you, that doesn't seem like it really fits because you're providing a product before they know it's a requirement. So how do you guys make those decisions? And how does that change a strategy for someone in your position versus making a new plugin that like, you know, uses different fonts and colors or something?
Yeah. So I want to answer that. I also want to make sure that we get back eventually to that. What's different about building security versus like CMS stuff? Cause I find that question fascinating. I think about it a lot. But as far as people needing our product and not even realizing that they need it, and how do we then fill that gap? How do we get our product out there? It's that's very interesting. And I actually think, you know, having come from the, I didn't maybe mention this in my little intro, but coming from the hosting space where I've been working at Webhost for the last decade plus, one of the things that I think has been a disservice to us in the long term that we thought was good, was making security transparent. Never upselling it, never really putting it out there as a major like feature or differentiator. We let it become table stakes that your hosting is secure. And the problem is, that has taken it out of the headspace of many end users. And now we're in a spot where things are changing. The whole landscape is changing probably more in the last 2 years than I've seen it change in the last 12 or 15. And people do need to understand a little bit more about this so that they can implement some better practices, so that they do know that they maybe need a little bit more for this money-making site than just the default settings that are on when you turn on your hosting. Because there's always this balance with everyone around security, but especially with hosts who serve, you know, any number of customers. and where one customer's balance between like ease of use and security is, and where another one's balance is for that same question, is really different. And so hosts have to kind of aim for the ones that, you know, to meet the majority. And there are others that need to come in and add a few new things, change some settings, do that stuff. And so now we're in a space where something we've tried to make invisible for so long, we're now needing to try to get out there and educate. And we're working with hosts to help them do that, to empower them with the messaging to get to their clients. You know, is more and more making AI tools where their customers can just say, hey, how are my sites doing? We're helping to power the back end of those to say, you know, not just that they're up and running and that they have visitors, but like, here are the kinds of attacks that you've weathered over the last week and how we've blocked and protected them and what you might want to consider because of that. So it's a very interesting space to be in at the moment as far as trying to educate users on a thing that has you constantly walking the line between educating them and scaring them, trying to do the former and not the latter, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then double back to that strategy thing you wanted to get back to.
Yeah, the difference between building a security product and building almost any other product that I've built before, the thing that I'm always thinking about in this space is that building security products is kind of adversarial, right? Most product categories have competitors, people that are trying to build something better, win more customers, maybe even take customers from you. But security products have actual adversaries, people that aren't trying to build something better than you. They're just trying to defeat you in order to accomplish some other task. And we also have competitors, but it's those adversaries that are really different. You don't just put a product out and have people go, oh, well, I can, you know, I can build something better than that. You put a product out and people immediately attack it and then change what they're doing based on that. So like our whole space and the problems that we're solving in it change as new protections and products and features are released into it because of that sort of adversarial thing, which makes it shift and change a lot. It's like a constant race to see who can be ahead. And it may seem exhausting, but honestly, it's fun problems to solve and a very interesting, fast-moving place to be.
Yeah, I would imagine if you're like into puzzles and games and like that kind of stuff, like board game mentalities, right? I would imagine you would fit very well into that space.
As someone who has cabinets and cabinets of board games here, that actually resonates a lot.
Perfect. Jonathan, over to you, man.
Yeah. If you're an agency and you like looking to like move to Wix Studio to get away from WordPress, I had one person say to me, well, it's just going to be a lot more secure, Jonathan. But I suppose that's true. But, you know, it like what we said at the beginning of this conversation, it's a judgment call between flexibility, customization, and security, isn't it? Do you think... But I think if you... But you pointed out in the first half, you know, when it comes to actual password management, really basic stuff, that most of the security threats come from that. So would you agree with me? WordPress can't be as secure as a SaaS product. But also, in some ways, it's overemphasized that it comes from the actual architecture. It's more about what people do running their website. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do not think that something like Wix or any other product is inherently more secure than
All right. WordPress.
I think the WordPress can absolutely be just as secure. And you do see that, you know, huge projects run on WordPress. Yeah, things yeah. like NASA that, you know, they don't take security lightly. I got the chance to see some of like the security testing that they did against WordPress in order to adopt it. Many companies are doing that. Now, you may have like Wix, they may hire a pen testing company to test them so that they can find and fix their own vulnerabilities. But WordPress has that often because not only do we do some of our own, but NASA does some. And, you know, when Oprah launched on it, they did some. And you know, the whitehouse.gov site did some. And Disney has done them. And, you know, all these companies that are using and relying on WordPress are running these. And so it's getting done constantly and consistently in a way that I think actually is arguably making us more secure than someplace like Wix. But you are right in that there's a lot more to it than just the security of the software. And I think that bad practices on Wix and bad practices on WordPress both result in a potentially vulnerable site. And so I think that anyone that's moving just because of the security, I think is doing it wrong. Now, if you have other reasons to move to Wix, I don't think that there's any one piece of software that is the right piece of software for every need. And so WordPress isn't meant for every single site out there. But if you're doing it because of security and not because WordPress doesn't meet your needs for something else, I don't think that's valid.
I think before I throw over to Kurt, the other kind of petty peeve that got with is the administration levels. Obviously, you've got user, editor, admin. And I always advise people, if they've got a money website, they really want to reduce the amount of admins as much as possible. But the problem is that there's a lot of plugins that there's certain things, if you just got editor rights, you just can't do. So they end up, people end up getting admin rights. And then the owner forgets. Is there a coherent reason why there couldn't be more granular control over and have like a super admin in WordPress? Or is there a technical reason why that's not feasible?
There are really granular permissions capabilities in WordPress. They are not in the UI by default, but you can run some plugins that give you that more granular control. The truth of the matter there isn't that it can't be there or even that it isn't, but that there's some balance between sort of simplicity of management and complexity of permissions and the way that WordPress tries to meet the 80% needs and let the 20% extend, which is kind of our mantra, right? We want to meet the needs of the 80% by default, and for the 20% make it so that they can extend it to do whatever it is that they want, ended up being these sort of buckets. And there is a concept of super admin, but only in multi-site installs. That's someone admin across the whole network. Where you mentioned plugins, I do think that one of the quick ways that a lot of plugin developers sort of cut corners is in the permissions. They just check for, you know, the ability to set WP options or something, which lets you then do it as admin, but not as anyone else, when really it doesn't need to be that layer. And unfortunately, can't really, like, WordPress itself can't fix, even if we made all the like more granular controls, if the plugin owner just sets it so that only admins can do it, only admins can do it. it does make it a little bit more difficult for those sites where it's very important to follow things like least privilege, right? It only give the privileges that are actually needed. But I still think that it's best practice to do that as much as you can. And maybe a plugin limits it some, but two things to call out there specifically as like tips for folks that are doing this and facing this. One is back when I ran an agency, we added a new like user level that we called like owner that we would give that was actually had fewer permissions than admin, but that we would give to the clients that they could use so that they wouldn't break as much stuff. And sometimes you just have to get creative like that, and that can be helpful. And the other is do go through and monitor your users as much as possible. Turn their privileges as low as you can and look at your admin users. Because one of the most common things that bad guys do right now is slip a new admin user into your account and into your site so that they can use it later. If you're just making everyone admin and never looking at your users, you're not really, it's like never even checking to see if your door's locked when you leave the house, right? And it's a thing worth doing. Don't just ignore it. It's valuable.
Over to you, Kurt.
I'm listening to your answer, Aaron, and I'm really intrigued because from an agency, and Jonathan and I have had this private conversation off camera before. So we've struggled with this, and I know that you just mentioned it, but I just want to explore the concept. When we are hosting a WordPress website for a client, WordPress comes with that, hey, it's open source, you have ownership, this is yours, you know, this is yours, you know, you own this, and then they infer that they become administrators and they own it, right? And then they're like, well, I'll do with it what I want. And then they call you with an emergency when they break something. We've seen that over and over again. And we've explored, you know, both of us have explored, well, what if we reduce the permissions, right? But then that seems to come with some backlash. And it seems to like forego the initial concept of you own this. Because if you owned it, you'd have access to it. It's how do you... I feel like I'm maybe catching you off guard here, but with this question, but how do you approach that with clients from an agency perspective, or you just gloss over it and go, here it is.
A couple of quick things. One, just to be like super clear, my agency experience ended like 15 years ago ish, maybe a little bit longer. I did one for 10 years and, you know, worked with everything from small businesses up to enterprise customers. The way that we kind of addressed it and that I still kind of talk to people about addressing it is through essentially both education and sort of limitations around permissions. I do feel very strongly, just like in a personal sense, that people should own their own sites, right? Like, so I don't want to take away that ownership. If you have a site that you've paid for and had built, it should be yours. You should be able to move it wherever. They can still do that, even if they have a editor account instead of an admin account. One of the ways that we implemented that at my agency was we would make admin, we'd rename it something like, you know, agency support or something along those lines. That was a big technical one that we managed, and that was for doing technical stuff on the site. And then there was something else that was for the people that just owned and managed and ran the site. Similar things that we tried, though, is even things like the concept of maybe it, you know, you've had a VPS before where you can log in, then you can also log in as root, but there's maybe two different accounts. Giving them an admin account and giving them an account that's meant for them to use. You log in as, you know, Jared K, that's your username. If you need to do something that Jared K can't, you log in as admin. And that makes them think, is this a thing that I should do or should I be reaching out to my agency to do it? And so sometimes just giving them two different accounts and saying, this is normal and this probably means you're touching something risky, but you still own the site, so you have the capabilities, that can often work as well.
Yeah, it's a weird double-edged sword because I think if we're all honest with each other on the call here, it's you give people access to the, they say, oh, I'm going to make my own edits. I'm going to this, I'm going to that, I'm going to the other, right? I'm going to make the moonshine. And then you you give them access. And then a year later, you look at their website. They haven't changed a thing. They haven't even logged in. So on one hand, the fear is elevated. On another hand, it's like it's a moot thing, but it's, we had this policy where we said, if you want to install plugins, please get with us. We'll install the plugin for you. Make sure there's no conflicts. And then you go in 6 weeks later, 2 months later to look at their website. And you're like, where did all this stuff come from?
In my experience, it tends to be the first few weeks. Honestly, it's still the new thing. They're in there playing with it. You're right that maybe 2 years later, they've, you know, kind of just let it be and just kind of gotten past it. But in all the newness, people tend to go in and click around and see what's going on and go, oh, this looks like a fun thing that I could add. Or what is this? We probably don't need it. There's risk of breaking things, and you're trying to help them have a site that works. And so if you can kind of separate the normal use from the thing that potentially has risky behavior, I think it can help.
Nice. Well, if I were to do my job and ask the question I think I'm supposed to ask, it's, and I think you've almost kind of touched on it, but like if you could talk to WordPress site owners at this stage and say, what's like one, like what's the one practical security habit that they should exercise? What would they adopt or exercise like now?
Yeah, people ask me this all the time, and I always refuse to give a single answer. It's always two. So sorry about that. I'm cheating. But one is get better security practices for yourself and for the people using your site, right? Like I said it once, but I think it's worth saying again, you should be using a password manager. You shouldn't be reusing passwords, right? Like those things are absolutely important. And then number two, keep things up to date. You probably don't want to become an internet security expert in order to run your WordPress site. But there are a lot of us that are internet security experts that are helping to patch vulnerabilities in things and keep you safe. And the best thing you can do is rely on us and update to those things so that our fixes can actually protect you. And so as much as you can update quick or even set auto updates where appropriate, super helpful.
Nice. Jonathan, I'll swing over to you.
Yeah, I think, what's your own views about, you know, this whole business around OpenAI and their agents breaking out and hacking a security? I forgot the name of the company and this whole business, when you heard it, and I'm sure you looked into it a little bit with some interest, what's your own views about that whole thing?
Yeah, there are a few parts to this, I think. Number one, on the more technical side, these agents really are very good at stringing together sometimes absurd amounts of steps or things in order to get around some kind of protection or bypass it, et cetera. So like, you know, I think I made at least a passing mention to some of the reports that we've gotten to the WordPress security team. There was one that I printed it out in order to try to follow along and make sure I understood what it took. And when it came out of my printer, it was 17 pages long. And like, that's how much I had to sort of go through and figure out to link all the steps together to do a thing that actually was valid and needed a fix along that long chain. And so there really is a lot of power in these agents being able to bypass security measures and find vulnerabilities. on the flip side of that, I think that these companies should not just let their agents run unchecked, and that when they brag about them breaking out and breaking into somewhere, they should instead be told, well, why didn't you keep your software on a chain? Like, why are you letting it run around and smash into other people's stuff? I think that there should be some accountability there. I'm not a AI is absolute doom and gloom kind of person, but I'm also a believer that AI needs to be used safely like anything else, and that those companies should have a little bit more consequences for those kinds of things.
Got a question here. It was quite a good one, actually. What biggest security change would you make to WP Core if you were in charge?
Oh, that's a good question. It's much easier to look back and see things that we did that I wish we didn't do than really think about, like, I'm not sure what I would do like right this instant. I know that if I could magically go back to the beginning, there are some basic things that I would tell us, oh, that's a bad idea for the future. Our support of like magic quotes was a real mess to try to get right from a security perspective. But that's from like literally the first couple versions of WordPress. I would probably say that as much as short codes were amazingly useful, that was not the way to go. Those are so hard to do securely. But I think right now, I guess, what's the thing that I would magically change? I really don't know exactly. I think that there's some things that I would probably make it easier. I don't know like the exact solution to this, but I think making it much easier to know when you're supposed to be, you know, escaping output versus sanitizing input. Some of those things, once you've been programming for a while, it all seems very logical and makes sense. But if we could help even those folks that are doing their first plugin or their first site, if we could make it stupid simple so that they couldn't make mistakes around that, I think it would solve a lot of the broader ecosystem issues that we've faced because of it.
Yeah, over to you, Kurt.
Also, a good call out from Dave as I was giving background stuff saying no hedging. That's why I had to give an actual real current answer.
Right.
Keep me honest.
I feel like I get the question that always wraps us up, and that is, and it's kind of an extension of what you just answered, I guess, but personally, if you could go back to the beginning of your career journey, you know, a time machine or whatever, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, that's always a fun question. I think that there's one of the big things is I would really work to convince myself that relationships matter, like professionally, like in work, in your growth as being better at what you do. As a serious introvert, that was a difficult one for me to sort of get through, and I didn't get through it until I finally understood the importance of it. But I'm not someone that says it's not what you know, it's who you know, but I am someone that says it's a little bit of both. Like, it's important to know your stuff, but it's also important to know people that help you get better at what you do, that encourage you to keep moving forward. So I think that would be the advice. Start that sooner rather than after you're seeing your own skills start to stagnate or something and realize that it's necessary.
Oh, thanks, man. That's insightful.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good time for us to wrap up the show. So, Aaron, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
They can check my own site, aarondcampbell.com. If you want to see what I'm doing professionally and all the cool stuff I'm building to help keep people safe on the internet, monarx, monarx.com. And you can always catch me in the WordPress Slack as well as at Aaron Campbell.
That's fantastic. And Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more what you're up to?
LinkedIn. I am the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find. And then our website is Manana No Mas. And you can also just reach out to me through the team at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. And if you're, like I say, if you want to support the show, just share it in your social media. That's a great way to support the show. We will be back next week with another great interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.